Good morning. Good morning to online church. We hope that as you're joining us today, you can sense what's happening in this room. God's here just in such a powerful way. Or if you're watching online today, I know you're going to enjoy this service. The scripture Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 we looked at last fall, and then we started our storehouse challenge in January, and believe it or not, we're more than halfway through 2025. You see, it's mixed response when I say that. Malachi chapter 3 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and it's talking about 10% of our income, and that teaching that we understand that when we trust the Lord, we give him, actually, where it wasn't ours to begin with, but we're portioning the 100 that he's given us to steward, he's asked for 10%. That's called the tithe. We bring it to the storehouse, the place of God, the local church, God's house, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. Say so much. Oh, I like so much blessing, that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and vines in your fields, which I believe that just means your washing machine goes a little bit longer and your dryer just works a little bit longer, because we honor God and God takes care of our stuff. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not drop before their fruit is ripe. And so that means the harvest that is due you, the harvest that you're anticipating and the harvest that you're believing in, that harvest is going to come to pass. It's not going to be shortchanged or disqualified in some way, says the Lord Almighty. And so as we're halfway through this year, I just want to thank all of you who took that storehouse challenge. And I think I can confidently say, I can be corrected by those who oversee our finances here and know the exact numbers, but our finances have never been as healthy as they are right now, this moment today at Harvest Christian Fellowship. And so that's just a tribute to the faithfulness of God and God's people. And if you haven't taken the storehouse challenge, you can do that. You don't have to wait for another date or another time. Just believing God with this powerful, powerful principle of the tithe. It is a spiritual, Holy Spirit principle. Now, as we're talking about finances, I want to just have you aware of something that's taking place here at Harvest the first 2 weeks of September, something that we are not able to budget. This is something that's happened at Harvest that is over and beyond and above anything that we could have anticipated. And about 2 years ago is when we were made aware that our front concrete steps, the deterioration that you see, the face that's deteriorating, is more than just on the surface. It's all the way through the steps. And we contracted an engineer to drop some plans to look at it first and confirm that that they need to be there needs to be major construction done on the stairs. And so that was done about 2 years ago. And then we started to put that out to tender. And it's been a difficult process, I think, just kind of working through this, making sure that we're making good decisions, right decisions, because it's an extensive project with an extensive price tag, over $300,000, which is about half of our operating budget in a year. So as you can imagine, this has been something for me personally. I've been singing, I trust the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, and believing God that he would provide a way for this to take place. So we were able to have someone to respond to the tender. We had over four people, and we went with someone actually not local, from southwestern Ontario, who wants to bless churches. That's their heart. That's they have a proven 40-50 year family company track record. And when I spoke to them, I didn't ask if they would consider doing and helping us, but they offered that and said they came for a tour of the church. They asked what was happening here at Harvest. And as I began to share that, they were excited and said, we need to step up. We want to help. And so they're able to do it. Less expensive, but we don't know that exact price, less expensive, because as we try to keep up with code and everything that's happening, there have been additional charges as any construction projects. I wanted you to be aware of that. There'll be construction fences up on the first 2 weeks. We'll let you know. We'll probably use the side entrance as you come in. But listen, last time we did some construction, there was a rumor going around town that the church was closing. I got phone calls. We hear Harvest is closing. No, not only are we not closing, we have two-pack services, God's blessing, God's. And so just let people know we're not closed. We're open. We're gonna be serving God, loving God, worshiping God, going forward. We're just going to have steps that we're not going to fall through and that we can trust on the way in. I mentioned to you that's not something we can budget. We have been able to secure financing, which in and of itself really is a miracle. But I say that to you that you be thinking about in the days to come. We'll be talking to you about some long-term building things that need to be done. My heart would be that we can button some things up, new windows, new doors, a lot of things that need to be done in order to maintain and appreciate what God has given us in this building so that we can continue doing what God's called us to do in Cornwall. But as the Lord speaks to you and you want to contribute to already lowering the debt, you can mark stairs on that offering. We'll know exactly what you mean with that. Hey, have you been enjoying the Fruit of the Spirit series? How many have been enjoying that? Put your hands together and just thank all the speakers. I've really enjoyed this series because I get to sit in the front row and listen and enjoy and be fed, and I have been. It's been amazing. I'm getting some needed rest and enjoying that, so I just appreciate that we're able to do that. We have an amazing team here at Harvest, I certainly appreciate that. Louis Mazzarelli is coming to speak on kindness. He's a very kind man, if you haven't met Louis. Louis has spent, he and his wife Lydia, who's sitting with him today, gave their lives to the house of God and served God faithfully, pastoring and full-time ministry for over 40 years. It is a privilege to have them in our church family in these years of their life and in ours. And so today, you're about to be blessed. Would you put your hands together and welcome Louis as he comes to minister the word today.
Crazy.
I love you.
Thanks, man. Wow, what an intro. And those steps. Wow, we're going to believe God. Yeah. To do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Wow. So I am Louis Mazzarelli, for those who don't know me, as Pastor introduced me. But just before I share the message this morning, let me just... the summer step out that we've been hearing about. I hope you're, doing something towards that. And I just wanted to, one of the phrases that jumped out at me was, do something now that, the summer is, the schedule is different. It's slower. Yeah, and parents who have kids home from school say, what? Right? But take time to just choose to be present with people. Find people perhaps that aren't in your circle around where you sit every week in church and go up to them and talk to them and ask questions about who they are, what God is doing in their life. Find out about them. So the challenge for us this summer is to step out. Might be uncomfortable, but let's do that. Well, it has been a great series, as Pastor said, and I'm honored to be a part of the church team here to share, like Roy, your first opening message was so good. Then Mia followed it up, and I was going to preach like Mia and take my shoes off and walk barefooted, but it's not really me. So, and then Ryan followed up with another good one. Karen last week on patience. Oh, and she kind of, I don't know if you got this, but she kind of, she introduced my message because at one point when she said something, you clapped for her and Karen said, oh, you're so kind. So this morning I'm speaking on kindness. It's the fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at. Let's read together this passage. It's our anchor passage for the series, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And I think it was Ryan who initially got us to read it together. So let's do that. But the Holy Spirit, read with me, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Kindness is a really important fruit of the Spirit. And not only because it's sandwiched in between four other fruit on either side, you know, it's like that hinge, or maybe it's the, you know, the part of the teeter-totter that keeps, you know, the fulcrum, I think it's called, you know, or we could say maybe it's like the middle child of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it definitely is the glue that holds both sides together. It's the white cream in the middle of an Oreo cookie. And let me tell you, kindness is sweet. Isn't it? Okay. Seriously, though, it is important. It's a very important fruit of the Spirit. And this is why. Proverbs 11, verse 17 says this. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. In the New Testament, we have a similar passage or at least some parallel thinking in the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 22, where Paul says to the church, but he is, and referring to God, kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will also be cut off. Kindness is important because I want to be rewarded. Okay, now you might rightfully say that sounds pretty selfish. Yeah, I'm going to be kind so that I'm going to get rewards. Like, no one would teach their kids that, right? Okay, but we shouldn't be after the reward. And really, I don't know anyone who wants to derail their life. We all want to succeed. We all want to be rewarded. We all want to be successful in life. So I would say it's really not selfish. Now, follow my thinking, okay, for a bit. Track with me here. Who are you? The Bible tells us you are a son or a daughter of the living God. In Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God. And a few verses later, not only are we children, but we are heirs of God, co-heirs or joint heirs with Jesus. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And not only are we children and heirs, but we are also ambassadors of King Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Get this, God is making his appeal through us. Now, you all know an ambassador is an official, a high-ranking official, the actual highest-ranking official in a foreign country. They're officially representing the country they're from. We are officially representing God's kingdom in this world. As a Christ follower, we are called to make his appeal through us, to be kind to others, to represent God to them. Kindness is important because it helps us do that. It helps us represent God. We will be rewarded if we represent God well with kindness. Okay, could you just hold that thought for a minute? Just put it on the side. Let me define kindness in the Bible before we get too far. The English word in the Old Testament that gets translated kind is this Hebrew word called hesed. And there are many, many concepts that hesed kind of brings about. Words such as kind, mercy, compassion, love, grace, faithfulness. These verbs, all together perhaps, give us a bit of what hesed really means, but it's so much bigger than all of that. Maybe it's all of them together and intertwined together. But it's not merely just emotions, these emotions of love or gratitude or grace, faithfulness, but it's feelings that push us to action for someone in need. Hesed describes a sense of love and loyalty that inspires merciful compassion. Or just taking all those words together and expressing that towards someone else. Now, besides this concept of human-to-human compassion, that I do something for you, the Old Testament also expresses hesed as a part of God's character. In Exodus, when God appeared to Moses and gave the law for the second time. You know that God gave Moses the law two times, because the first time Moses came down from the mountain and he threw the tablets on the ground and he crushed them. And so God had to do it again. And this time, in Exodus 34, God says this, about himself. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Now the word that he uses to describe himself as filled with, or some of your translations might read abounding in, that word is hesed. And it's translated in this passage love, but it carries with it the idea that God is filled with and abounding with kindness. It describes our God. So quickly, let me just summarize that. The Old Testament, there's this word that's translated kind, and it means these two things. Hesed means an act of human love towards someone else, and it also means a characteristic of God. Okay, the New Testament has a different word. There's a Greek word, Christosis, and that word means morally good, integrity, kindness. Now, Bible dictionaries, if you read them, and I did that for you, so don't bother, it describes a person of moral excellence and active benevolence, okay? So that's like this God figure giving this Moses figure the commandments a second time, and God saying, I'm abounding. And secondly, it also describes both a gentle nature and a willingness of a human to help another human. So we have that. We have these two things again, with not only in the Old Testament but in the New Testament. This word Christosis says means it's an act of human kindness from one person to another, an act of love, and it's also a characteristic of God. Okay, just a sidebar. If we were to just look at that characteristic of God, as you know, Pastor, that would just take months. We could do series after series on the character of God and talk about him and how kind he is, how loving he is, how joyful he is. Actually, the very nature of God brings us the fruit of the Spirit, which are his. All nine of those are his characteristics. But this morning, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, and that word talks about the human-to-human kindness. So it's important to understand all of this definition stuff, okay? I'm getting back to my point here. As far as we're concerned, kindness isn't about saying you are kind, but it's about acting kindly. It's not about saying you're a kind person. It's about doing kind things. Okay, that's a biblical definition. Now, let me share with you a practical example of that. I'm in a Facebook group with a bunch of pastors from across Canada. And so I asked them to define kindness. And I asked them, don't use the Bible definition. Give me, you know, hesed, or don't do that. I don't want a dictionary definition. I want a life experience definition. I want them to share with me real life examples of kindness lived out in their lives or in their church's life. And so I asked for this. And they did not disappoint. They were able to kind of unscramble these Greek and Hebrew words and these concepts in Scripture a whole lot better than me and bring some real life to it. And I got a bunch of responses, and one of them really struck me. It just stuck out. Let me read this to you. Quote, one pastor said this, and I quote, "I just had this conversation with my 7-year-old daughter last night. It was prompted out of a conversation in which she yelled," 7-year-old yelling at mom and dad, "you and mom are so mean." But I was able to turn it around and ask her to give us examples of how we are mean. But then I made her also reflect on how we show her kindness. I explained that kindness is serving someone, even when it's hard. It's intentional, unscripted, service to others, consistently, because they matter. End of quote. Yeah, isn't it? That is good. I believe that grabs and applies those biblical definitions and those words, acts of intentional service to others, because people matter to God. Yeah, think about that. Kindness is really a matter of the heart. If you have a good heart, you will be kind. If you are Christ-like, you will be kind. You will do acts of kindness motivated out of a willingness to help others. Sometimes planned, other times on the spur of the moment. Before I started into the definitions, I asked you to hold that thought. And I said it was important because as Christ followers, we are called to love others, to represent God to them. Somehow, and I don't understand how, because I know me, God takes our Christ-likeness and makes it a beacon to those who do not yet know Jesus personally. Isn't that wild? Actually, you know, I believe all 9 of those fruit do, but this morning our topic is kindness, so I'm going to restrict my talk to that. Kindness is important because it reveals the God inside of us. This is what God said about himself, or what Paul said about God, that God inside of us in Romans 4, verse 2. He says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you?" He goes on. "Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" Right there, like in that verse, we have the gospel. That's the essence of what the gospel is, showing kindness to people. Kindness as a fruit of the Spirit shows them God's kindness to us to turn from our sin. Wow. You're an ambassador of that. Okay, some of you out there, what did I do? Hold on a sec. My notes did say pause, but not to refine my message. Okay, someone out there is probably thinking, okay, what about non-Christian people who are kind? Does anyone know any non-Christian people who are kind? Yeah. Or what about people who are born kind? What about them? How do they fit into this? And there's probably those of you here or listening online who know people, or perhaps you are a kind-hearted person. That's just a part of your nature. So when you were in school, or perhaps for your employment, for your job, you might have been asked to do a personality test, and one of those is Myers-Briggs. You know, these two ladies made this great study of human temperament, and if you're an ENFJ or an ISFJ, and if you don't understand what that means, don't worry about it, but if you're one of those personality types, they say you are a kind-hearted person. That's your nature. You won't get away from that. That's just who you are. But when the Christ follower grabs and takes hold of the essence of what the fruit growing out of them does. That fruit grows in every part of who they are. Not just the character traits or the personality traits that you are born with or those things that come naturally to you, like kindness. Actually, all nine of those traits would be fruit that grows on every branch of your life, every thought or every action, every motive of the true Christ follower just oozes these kind of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They just got to ooze out of us. Despite the natural intentions of who we are. Now, like you, I know, and you, many of you said, I know kind-hearted people. I know a few myself, and my brother-in-law, actually, Mike, who just passed away in May, and you folks were praying for us on the church prayer list, and I thank you so much for your prayers. He was one of those people. Mike was naturally kind in his heart. There wasn't a bad thought in his head towards others. He constantly acted kind to everyone who crossed his path. Lydia and I traveled with Mike and Sue, his wife. Lydia and Sue are sisters, and we traveled a lot with them over the years, and I'd been in a car with Mike and going into a parking lot and at Walmart or whatever, and we're going into the parking lot and we're going into our spot, and another car comes the other way and just takes the spot right in front of Mike. And I'm sitting in the passenger seat and Mike waves at them, smiles, and turns and finds another place. And I'm thinking, that was ours. Like, Mike was just like that. He was kind. And you know, the Holy Spirit didn't only bear eight fruits in Mike's life, leaving out kindness because Mike was kind-hearted. No, the Holy Spirit worked on all of them. He took the kindness in Mike's predisposed personality trait, and he made that fruit so sweet, like the center of an Oreo cookie. He made that fruit so sweet that others wanted to know about the God that lived inside of Mike. And I have proof of that because I witnessed it firsthand. The Holy Spirit grew those things in Mike. No matter what happened, people treated him rudely. No matter what happened. You know, I heard at his wake and funeral, and I knew this in general, but it hit me so much as we spent 2 days in the wake and then at the funeral. I heard person after person say things like, Mike was kind and gentle, loving and good, four fruit of the Spirit. Those are just the four I remember people saying. Many actually came to know Jesus because Mike was full of the Spirit's fruit, helping his own kind heart. I heard stories and people said this, literally, Mike was kind to me. Now I'm a Christ follower. Wow, you want a legacy like that? It spilt out of his life for all to see that he worshiped God. See, Mike was a public school teacher all his life. For over 30 years, he taught grade 6 boys and girls in and around Montreal area schools. He loved soccer as well. He played till probably in his 60s with the guys that he always played with growing up. He coached his son's soccer teams. Actually, Mike was so popular. We used to kid in the family. We'd joke around and we'd say, if Mike was standing with the Pope, people would say, hey, who's that with Mike? That's just the kind of guy he was. 43 years ago, Mike was teaching a grade 6 class in the East End of Montreal, and some of his grade six boys wanted to start a city soccer team to enter into a local league, and they needed a coach. So they asked Mike. Mike took them to provincial championships twice, the first year winning bronze. The boys invited Mike to the first ever soccer reunion. This was to be, it happened in January past. But because of Mike's health, he couldn't attend. So the boys arranged it with Sue, his wife, to FaceTime. And one by one that night, as the boys were having their fun reunion party, they talked about how kind Mike was to them. They each would say things, and they remembered things he did to them, and they carried Mike's kindness into their adult lives. One of the boys, Mike told me this story, one of the boys, 54 years old, he cried when he was on FaceTime with Mike, saying, "Mike, no one ever treated me as kindly as you way back when I was an 11-year-old boy." He remembered that all those years later. Mike would get up every morning and go through a checklist that he had. And he'd update it from the day before and kind of set some goals for that day. And his wife, Sue, told me about it actually just about a week ago. And actually it looked like this. This is the actual journal page that he updated. And across the top, you'll notice days. Okay, so these are the days of the week, Sunday to Saturday. And then down the side, he has the things that he needed to do each day. And look, notice here, the very last thing that he writes is kindness. Mike, this kind-hearted guy, made it a priority to do something kind to somebody every single day. I wish I were more naturally disposed to kindness. Pastor, you say I'm kind. Oh, wow. I love you. I just wish I could give the Holy Spirit a helping hand in shaping kindness in my life if I were more that way, but I'm not. Unfortunately, I can give you too many examples of over my lifetime how I had not been kind to others. I used to be a pushover, and I didn't like being taken advantage of. And one morning I woke up and said, enough, this ain't going to happen to me anymore. At times I maybe really went overboard. And let me give you an example, okay? I have this weakness when I'm talking to service people or call supply people, And I'm on the phone, and I understand my rights, and I think, my phone contract said this, but I'm talking to the service agent or to the help desk, and all of a sudden, I start getting really strong in my language, and I get really forceful, and I just get caught up in it, I guess, and I speak loudly. I demand my rights as if I have any, and one day, I'm on the phone talking about, I forget what it was, what we were, I was calling about, and Lydia was sitting next to me, listening, and she took a piece of paper. Okay. She wrote this on it. Be nice. Now, this is actually the actual note. Let's just bring that over. We'll get the be nice, nice and big. She actually wrote that. Be nice. Okay, we all know that women in a day can say so many more words than men can, right? Actually, I'm talking so much this morning that I'm not going to say anything the rest of the day. But, and women's words can be freighted. You know what that means? Kind of like, you know what a freight train is? Or a tractor trailer filled with, like it. Women's words have this effect of saying so much more than what one or two words that they utter mean, right? Okay, guys, especially if you're married, you're a married guy, you know exactly what I'm saying. what be nice meant. And I've been married 43 years next month. I know that this is what Lydia meant. Let the fruit of the Holy Spirit, kindness, come out of you as you interact with the person on the phone. Remember who you are. Remember whose name you bear. Be kind, because that person matters to God. I asked her, she said, that's exactly what I meant. And it's not because I don't love people. I do. But I think sometimes my brain gets a little selfish and I think I matter more than the person to who I'm talking to, and they're not listening to me and I have my rights. And I'm not talking and saying that we should have unhealthy, you know, self-esteem or anything like that, you know, because if we don't have boundaries, we won't have any kind to give away. But when kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, is growing in your heart, there is so much to give to others. We know that biblically kindness is an action, right? We said that. Something you do for others selflessly, helping people see God who created and a God who loves them. So let me give you two more examples of Christ followers who show fruit of kindness by what they do. Some of you may have heard of the name of the missionary or the humanitarian missionary, Ed Dixon. I know you know him. Ed is in the 90s, a career banker living in near Kingsville, southwestern Ontario. His job took him to the Ukraine, to an orphanage, to do some consulting. When he was visiting that orphanage, and actually this was the name of the orphanage, it was in Russian, I'm not sure the name, it was, but in English the translation is The Orphanage That God Forgot. Handicapped children. God spoke to Ed clearly back in the mid-90s to leave everything that he had in Canada and to help these kids. He's been in Ukraine for 30 years or more. The fruit of the Spirit in Ed's life is like wild growth. It's unbelievable. He's been doing various acts of kindness to help Ukrainian orphans for years. Things like, in this one orphanage, with the orphanage that God forgot, he saw the state of the mattresses for the kids, and they were so pathetic that he actually got 100 new mattresses, brought them to the orphanage, swapped them out. And he didn't leave the old mattresses there because he knew some of the workers might take the new ones and leave the old ones for the kids. He took the old ones away. He's provided medical supplies for orphans. He's given wheelchairs and crutches that he's raised money for to provide for. He's facilitated adoptions for some of these kids. He's provided life-changing operations. And one of the things that he's done yearly for a number of years now is he loads orphans into buses and brings them to McDonald's at Christmas to get a McHappy Meal. And along with that McHappy Meal, he gives them a craft and a clear presentation of the gospel for their age level. He calls it Mixed Joyful. This past Christmas, he showed kindness to 3,500 Ukrainian orphans during the war. Now, a number of years ago, Ed was on this trek of just being nice to these kids, and his kindness to these children was noticed by the then First Lady, Marina Poroshenko. She was President Petro Poroshenko's wife. And this is Ed and her at one of her visits to Toronto, where they met up. And you can see her bodyguard there in the black suit standing the other way, or one of her bodyguards. He created this relationship with her where he actually had the opportunity to explain why he did what he did. And he ended up influencing the country of Ukraine's policies towards children. He helped her develop special education programs for Ukrainian children, especially orphans, that were almost non-existent before, all because he was kind. And he's still in the war-torn country where he not only does the McJoyful Christmas, as I said, but he's also feeding homeless, providing shelter for those who've lost their shelter. And he's seeing churches grow. People are hungry for God because he was kind to some orphans. He literally, this is truth, he has affected the entire nation of Ukraine because he was kind. Okay, let me tell you of one more very young Christ follower. A young guy by the name of Gabriel Nardoza. And if you, I don't know if I said it, but Mike's last name, Mike I talked about earlier, is Nardoza. This is Mike's grandson, Gabriel Nardoza. When Gabriel was 4 years old, his mother, Daria, and Pastor, you know Daria. You did some consulting for her a while back. She thought, okay, I need to teach him to do random acts of kindness. So every Friday, her four-year-old son, Gabriel, and her would do things. Gabriel would draw a card, or together they would bake some goodies, cookies or muffins, and they would bring them to friends, neighbors, cousins, just to show God's kindness through him. So I asked Daria, actually, she's Lydia's nephew's wife, I asked her if she would just put together a short video for me, just explaining what she did with Gabe. Now, I didn't prime her on the message. I didn't say, you know, this is all about the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. I just said, you know, like, could you just tell us how you taught Gabe to be kind? She talks about building muscles in this four-year-old. Let's listen to her video.
Hello, I am Daria. Uncle Lewis asked me to share a bit of my story of the year that I taught my son about kindness. So my son is now 10, his name's Gabriel, but when he was 4, his last year of being home with me before starting kindergarten, Friday was Gabe and Mama Day, and it was his only day of the week that he didn't have preschool or going to grandma's house or anything like that, and it was our full day together. And so I wanted to be intentional about how we spent that time together and thought about what can I teach him. And in a world that's not always kind, I thought, what if I teach him about kindness? And so every Friday on Gabe and Mama Day, we would do a random act of kindness. And that would be anything from baking cookies for a neighbor or a bus driver or a garbage truck driver to bringing someone flowers, or one time we brought my sister lunch at her office and surprised her, just different random acts of kindness. For me, it was a joy to instill kindness in my son and to watch him grow in that and get excited about it. You know, like every week he'd be like, what are we gonna do this week, Mom? And he would be, excited about how he could be kind to others. Kindness is a muscle that is sometimes hard to build. So seeing his kindness muscles grow and just remember that we're called to be kind to people around us as Christians, and God's called us to that, and seeing him do that in small and intentional ways was really a gift for me, and I think a gift for him. I don't think he will forget that, and I think it probably instilled something in his brain as a little four-year-old. So yeah, really grateful for that time and how much it taught me and him.
Random acts of kindness by a young four-year-old. He influenced his world. He was a young ambassador. So let me just conclude. You know, God wants us to grow fruit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, to make us successful. and to have the ability to show kindness, the kindness of God to people around us by acts of service. Okay, but I need to put this warning out to you that you have to be careful, because the enemy of your soul doesn't like you messing with people. He will do things to try to derail you. You know, God is going to bring people or situations into your life where he's going to grow kindness. He's going to put you in situations where you might not want to be kind. Be aware. Have your eyes open. Dig deep into the soil of your relationship with God and draw from the nutrients so the fruit of the Spirit will grow out of you. You know what? Every single time I make a call to a service desk or I just think of that note. It's on my desk, actually. Be nice. So this morning, this is real. God wants you to be his ambassador. So everyone in this place this morning has a choice, one of four things. You could be kind, and you could influence a nation, like Ed. You could be kind, and you could influence a city, like Mike. Or you could choose to be kind and influence your community, like Gabriel. That's him at 10 years old. And the last choice you have is you can be yourself and have your wife or husband write you a note. You don't want that, do you? And when I was preparing this, man, I tell you, I just really sense in my heart, and I don't know if this person is here in the service or they're online, or maybe they're going to be in the second service, and maybe it's more than one, just one person, but I really believe that God is calling someone to be an Ed. But there's like 200 and something countries in the world. You can go influence a country. And maybe God has even talked to you. And you're just resisting because you know what it's going to cost you. The Holy Spirit wants to grow that fruit of kindness to influence, to show the kindness of God and how he has forgiven us of our sin. God wants to use you. Don't resist any longer. Maybe you'll just be a Mike, and it's not even just, but maybe you'll be Mike, or maybe you'll be Gabriel, or maybe you're going to be a parent of a Gabriel, and you're going to take your young child, if you don't already do stuff like this, and just instill in them the fruit of the Spirit that will grow, take root, grow, and grow, and change the world that they grow up into. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't really committed yourself to Jesus. And you're not really on a path where you say, well, I have fruit growing in my life, this Holy Spirit fruit. And we just want to make it, we want to make a level playing field here. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, I want to show you my love. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. So I'll ask everyone just to close your eyes, put your heads down so you don't look around, so no one feels uncomfortable. But if you'd like to give your life to Jesus in a way that you never have before, just raise your hand now. Would you do that? If you'd like to do that. Maybe you're online. If you are, just... if you're live online, type in the comments, that's me, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone just to pray this prayer with me. It's a simple prayer, nothing special, but like we do each week. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, pray this out loud with all of us. If we would all just do that together. Follow me, dear Lord Jesus. I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me.
I believe you died for my sins.
You rose from the dead.
Guide my life.
Help me to do your will.
Amen.
Now, if that's you, if you prayed that, just, you know, you could take your insert that you got and just mark it off in there and give it to someone with a Harvest Dream Team shirt on. At the end, we'd love to know. We have a gift to give you, and we want you to know that Jesus Christ is the best decision that you can or will have ever made. God bless you.
Harvest, would you stand? Come on, let's sing our way out. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord and he heard.
We just thank you this morning, God, for kindness, God, for the fruits of the Spirit. Father, I just even pray for individuals to exercise that muscle of kindness this week. God, someone that we wouldn't generally go up to and show kindness to or find it hard to show kindness to, God, that you will just give us grace to exercise that muscle this week. Father, we just thank you for today. God, we thank you for showing up. As you always do, Father. We trust in God with everything, Father, and we thank you for all you are and all you do and all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Harvest. We'll see you back here next week. Have a fabulous week.